and lowly of heart. He says, learn. And you'll find rest for your souls. What a great teacher he is. I've had great teachers, and I'm thankful for them. He's the best teacher. He's the most effective teacher. He has the ability to cast light, to shine light on every part of our lives. The wisdom of the world will tell you that the knowledge of Christ will restrict you. Right? Isn't that what they say? That you're closed-minded if you follow Christ. But how can this, when in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? It's silly. Well, you know, you'll be so, you know, dumb. No. And I got the greatest teacher in the world. He knows everything. He wants to teach me. Show me. He's the creator of everything. He's the sustainer and interpreter of everything. There's no electrical activity in your brains that is not powered by Him. He created it. He understands it. That's amazing. Was Johann Sebastian Bach limited in his creativity because of his faith in Christ? No. Was Vermeer or Rembrandt? Was Bunyan or Cowper or Spurgeon? No. We look at them, they're great men. Yet they had a relationship with Christ. Was Faraday ignorant because he believed in Christ? No. Was Newton? He defined laws right before there were computers. He defined laws of nature that God had established. Right? Yet had faith in Christ. What confines? Is it the knowledge of Christ? No, it's error. It's lies. Now, I'm not within Islam and the Muslim community. There are very few creative thinkers, poets, artists. Why? Because it's so restrictive. But within the Christian world, I call you so-called Christian, in nations where Christian principles have generally defined our culture, what do you find? Great creativity. Do you see the difference? And how even more beautiful it is when a person trusts Christ. If there's a thought that says no to Jesus, then it is a sinful thought. If there's an aspiration or desire or imagination that refuses to bear the scrutiny of the searching eyes of God, then it is sin. Paul's setting a goal here for you and I. You know what it is? That every thought, your entire being is submitted to Christ, to your very thought. There's never been a Christian who's taken captive every single thought and made it too obedient to Christ, but everyone who is a Christian desires that. Do you see the difference? And that's what you ought to want in your life. That's what I should want in my life. Whether we're working or at home, playing sports, out with your wife or your friends, watching TV, talking to your friends, how much more blessed our lives would be if the world of my thought life was in service to Christ. Say, Pastor, how? Let's go back. What is one of the armor? Paul tells the Ephesians, put on the helmet of what? Salvation. The helmet of salvation. You say, Pastor, what is the helmet of salvation? The helmet of salvation is a mind, characteristic of a mind that is preoccupied with such great salvation that we've been given by Christ. Bear with me. And it is kept safe and intact from the onslaughts of the enemy. What you need to do is dwell on the deep riches of the grace of Christ. Dwell on the wealth that you have in Christ. Find refuge and fortress against the enemy's attacks. They'll be fruitful. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on and protect your mind from the flood of devilish and worldly thoughts by allowing the things of God to make an imprint on you. The story is told about a missionary who was very depressed. And it was hard to determine why he was depressed. There seemed to be no reason. The missionary told the story how he thought he was losing his mind. He was so discouraged, so depressed, so overwrought by these unreasonable thoughts. But he spoke of the way he got deliverance. Listen to this. He said, I used my mind to grab a hold of facts, truth, and to refuse feelings. Now listen, I began to dwell on these facts, my position and status in Christ. Who am I in Christ? I began to think of the great promises of God that He made to me as a sinner who trusted in Him. I began to dwell on the words of Christ, the promises that will never be broken. He said, that became my food. He says, I just rehearsed these continually. And gradually, step by step, he got victory over his mind, his spirit, his thoughts, his body, his circumstances. What did he do? He brought every thought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Our minds are powerful, aren't they? And you're a fool to think you can just think however you want to think and it not affect you. Brothers and sisters, you're struggling with thoughts. Put on the helmet of salvation. Become preoccupied with who Christ is, what He's done for you. Dwell on His promises. Fill your mind and your heart with the Scriptures. Because again, what are we talking about? Spiritual weapons. How do we battle the thoughts? Truth. Feelings will destroy you, won't they? Brothers and sisters, we got to lean on fact, not feeling. That's the strength that you say, Pastor, it's a battle. The weapons of our warfare, it's a battle. If you're a believer in Christ, expect to be attacked. Expect for your mind to be attacked. Get in there and fight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. What a blessing it is to be reminded of what we have in Christ. What powerful weapons that we have. And so, Lord, help us to make good use of them, both externally against the vain imaginations and the high, proud thoughts against God that people have, but also in our own lives. When our minds are attacked by thoughts of discouragement and depression and anger and bitterness, and Father, whatever it is, Lord, may we dwell on salvation and who and what we are in Christ and the promises of God that will never be broken. And may we look to truth and fact and faith over our feelings. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. It'll lie to you. It'll lie to me. So give us the strength to take and to utilize Your Word in this battle that we face. Thank You again for this time together tonight. Bless us as we go and we attend to this week, however much time we have. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.